Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. I was done with Trump before being done with Trump was cool. Almost before it was even a thing, actually. I was done with Trump just a few minutes after I heard him speak for the first time. Let me apologize to you this week for my voice, which probably sounds strained because of a mild infection my immune system is fighting. We'll both have to put up with it today. Despite the raggedness, I'll try to make myself clearly understood. Now, I went to a Trump rally, and I enjoyed the anti-globalist, anti-Wall Street, implicitly pro-white fervor of the crowd. I really enjoyed Trump's campaign ad calling out Goldman Sachs, Janet Yellen, and George Soros, all well known to be exemplars of the Jewish power structure, as enemies of America. I like the idea of a wall to keep out mestizo invaders. And I doubly enjoyed the proven fact that even after all the screaming from the ADL and the Chosen News Network and the rest, that Trump was literally Hitler because of that ad, dozens of millions of people, the vast majority of them white people, still voted for him, enough to get him elected president. I triply enjoyed and am still enjoying three other significant results of all this. One, having the first presidential candidate in American history for whom being compared with Hitler was an electoral plus, and then having him win. Two, driving the Jewish media into paroxysms of rage, irrationality, and unprofessionalism so egregious as to drive more and more normies, that is, normal white people, as yet unawakened to their racist plight, to the alternative press, where there are 100 ways to find the National Alliance and National Vanguard. And three, it has also emboldened many, many thousands of awakened but previously silent white men and women to speak out on social media like never before, making racial nationalism a part of the national debate like it never has been in my lifetime. But Trump loves the system. Loves Jews, loves Israel, loves Goldman Sachs despite his playing us into thinking he didn't, and is apparently willing to compromise or deal on or flat out reverse every major nationalist-leaning promise he made to get elected. His cabinet and advisors read like a Goldman Sachs company picnic invitation list. He thinks the Federal Reserve Bank is great, beautiful, fantastic now. The Jewish mosquitoes proboscis will continue to be attached to our veins and arteries forever and ever. Amen. Even though the Jewish media want to use some innocent and routine contacts with Russia as a pretext for bringing down his administration, he never challenges their major premise that the white superpower is a major threat and adversary. By the way, the real adversary of our people sits in Hollywood and New York City and Tel Aviv. He's made no effort to disengage America from the endless Middle Eastern wars fomented by the Jews, and in fact shows every sign of preparing to escalate them and start the flow of dead American kids in body bags all over again. I am astounded that some of my nationalist friends still think there's something there worth supporting or defending. They actually are interested in the latest thing Comey said. They really get agitated about Al Franken's or Michael Moore's last comment on Trump, or some Fox News or CNN commentator's facial expression or choice of words when discussing whatever Trumpery we're supposed to be excited about today. I'm so past all that I can hardly see it way off on the horizon. And that's the way we should all be. You're wasting your life if you're spending your time thinking about such ephemeral stink bombs for more than half a millisecond a month. You're not only wasting your life, you're blowing our chances. It's like this. Our people are a 20-person team standing in the middle of a football field right on the 50-yard line. Up above them, an Israeli jet armed with body heat-seeking missiles is bearing down on them and almost has them in its sights. The pilot intends murder. There's not enough time to leave the field. Near the right goalposts, there's a very effective anti-aircraft battery that could blow the Israeli jet out of the sky in 5 seconds. Painted on the side of the anti-aircraft guns are the words racial nationalism. It normally takes 4 people to man the guns. 2 of our guys know all this. The Jewish pilot has a radio transmitter, broadcasting dance music with an announcer who keeps repeating, "Everything's all right. It's party time, baby. Just make sure you stay away from the right side of the field." That's wrong. And anyone who tells you to go there is evil. Half of our people have radio receivers and are raptly listening to the Jews' line of patter, more or less forcing everyone else to hear it too, whether they like it or not. Would we even have time for elections under such circumstances? I don't think so. But let's pretend we did. One faction, led by someone named Hill, wants to move as far left on the field as possible, away from the anti-aircraft battery. The other faction, led by someone named Donald, wants to move 10 inches to the right. "Almost a full third of a yard," they proclaim, just in case we might need to get to those weapons someday. There's a lot of screaming and arguing over this, and a few faces get bloodied, too. But neither side acknowledges the Israeli jet, its missiles, or its murderous pilot. "There's not a cloud in the sky," says Hill. "I see a few clouds," says Donald. Donald gets elected. Turns out his best friends and the ones who helped him get elected are the producers of the radio program so many of the people are listening to. The producers tell him sternly that moving 10 inches to the right is too far. But to let him save face with his supporters, they'll reluctantly allow him to move our people rightward 1 inch. Meanwhile, the Israeli jet is getting closer and closer, and the pilot has his finger on the missile launch button. And, despite Donald's great victory, the anti-aircraft guns are 49.97 yards away. Like I said, 2 of our guys know what needs to be done. They know they need to man those guns now, and they want 4 men to do it right. Should they Join the prolonged mudslinging and fistfights over whether we should move left or 1 inch more to the right? Or should they take whatever measures are necessary to get another two men, or maybe they can get only one, and perform whatever miracles are within their bodies and minds and souls to make sure the battery is firing before I can reach the end of this sentence? In the course of doing what must be done for their people to survive, should they allow themselves to be slowed down or intimidated because they, quote-unquote, aren't following proper democratic procedures? Should they fail to man the guns because it's against the rules? Should they pause for a moment to honor the Donald's magnificent inch? My analogy is not perfect, but I'm sure you get the point. We know what must be done. We must do it. We have no time to waste on elections, which the massive immigration flood and the dumbing down of the electorate have closed to us anyway. We need to recruit a million or so hard-headed, dedicated, disciplined, and uncompromising whites who will give every ounce of their energy in their lives to the cause of saving, securing, and advancing our race. Once we have that, we can do anything. No elections needed. Peoples only have the rights their bravest men are willing to die for. Nothing more, nothing less. Do you want to save our people or not? If you do, join the National Alliance. Help us lead our people to safety, to freedom, to a future beyond imagining. Let me also tell you, just in case you haven't noticed the new promotional graphic we've been using for a few days on National Vanguard, some important news. National Alliance Books is back. This is a project that is very dear to my heart. As one of the first public things I did for the Alliance back in 1984 was compile, edit, lay out, and publish a book, The Best of Attack and National Vanguard Tabloid. And it was a very important day in my life when at our 1984 convention, Dr. Pierce handed me a signed copy of that book, just off the presses, with his thanks for producing it inscribed to me over his signature, along with the words, "A real professional job." Well, the volunteer who set up our new online National Alliance book and CD catalog has done a real professional job, too. So now it's easier than ever to order books and CDs to educate yourself and enlighten your friends and family and colleagues, and at the same time support the important work of the National Alliance. This radio program, our community in West Virginia, our online magazine, nationalvanguard.org, and all the other projects our supporters and members read about every month in our National Alliance Bulletin. So check out our two new links, one for books, one for CDs. That's natall.com/books. natall.com/books and natall.com/audio. And I'll see all of you next week on American Dissident Voices. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. The National Alliance is working to educate white men and women around the world as to the nature of the reality we must face, and organizing our people to ensure our survival and advancement. We need your help to continue. Make your life count. Send the largest contribution you can afford to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. You can also help us by visiting natall.com/donate. That's natall.com/donate. Once again, our postal address is Box 172. Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
Out.